on May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
What is going on, everyone? And welcome back to yet another episode of the Shock Factor podcast. And if you're listening and you're hearing music in the background, then that means we have done this right. And that is true. The Shock Factor podcast is experimenting with a little bit of intro music. I'm not sure which way we want to go yet. We're looking for something relaxed, something that sets the tone, that says, hey, look, I love college baseball, but if I get too excited, there's a 0% chance I can sit still for an hour and talk about it. I need to go and do stuff. So we're looking for that nice medium tone. But speaking of guys to get excited about, this week's episode is going to be a super fun one. We are starting it off with Virginia Tech's Carson DeMartini, who's been off to an absolutely insane start to the season. He's at 14 home runs this season, which last season he had 10 in total. So it's been really fun watching him develop over the course of his career. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, Steve, you went to Virginia. Surely you can't like anyone at Virginia Tech. Well, that's not really true. In fact, I actually do like Carson DeMartini. I like a lot of the Virginia Tech Hokies because they're very exciting baseball players in their own rights. Because you know what? I got my playing done. The rivalry is in the past. I know I still have that jersey up there, the Virginia jersey saying, hey, Steve played here. But the rivalry is gone. I am ready to move on and share more about the Virginia Tech Hokies. And if you're a fan and you're like, hey, wait, I'm a UVA fan, Steve, you can't do that. Just know that these kids are working hard too, and they deserve some love. But after talking with Carson, he's an absolute firecracker on the field. Like he's the type of player who's always making something happen. So it was really fun to finally get to meet him. First of all, I believe I met him after a Virginia Tech game, but get to meet him and talk to him for a long time. And just pick his brain and see what goes into making him a baseball player and at the college level. And the way he got into the college game and his recruiting process was really interesting to me. And I think it really contributed to the type of baseball player we see Carson DeMartini is these days. So you'll want to stick around for that. And then following that, we hear from Arkansas's go-to relief guy, Will McIntyre. And If you're familiar with my background, you know that my moneymaker was, hey, look, well, not moneymaker because NIL didn't exist when I played, but my bread and butter was coming out of the bullpen and getting outs when the game was tight. There's no better feeling than it. But to be a guy who really likes being in that situation, you got to be a little bit weird, a little bit different. And Will, honestly, is probably the most normal, well-adjusted relief pitcher I feel like I've talked to. He seemed like the most middle-of-the-road guy when it comes to, like, superstitions. I feel like he's just down the line. He seems like, look, give me the ball. I'm getting you outs. That was the vibe I got from Will McIntyre, and that is the vibe you want out of a relief pitcher. But he was an awesome guy to talk to. He gave us some great insight as to what it's like to be on the currently number one ranked Arkansas Razorbacks. So you'll definitely want to hear from him and just hear about his mental approach on the mound and kind of the makeup of who Will McIntyre is, because his college baseball process and his journey in itself is really impressive, and he's got a fun story that you'll definitely want to stick around and hear. He also accomplished one of the most nerve-wracking things, something I never even thought or considered doing in my career, which was going into a coach's office and essentially saying, hey, look, how do I become a starting pitcher here? How do I get more innings here? Any conversation with a coach like that is terrifying. And any guy who can go in there, have that conversation and just like be, okay, yep, no, that's fine. We survived it. That is a guy I want on the mound because there's nothing on the field that will be half as nerve-wracking as that. So Will McIntyre, he's an awesome dude. I was very excited to get to meet him and very happy at the start of the conversation and the end of the conversation. And that's how I have been with all these guests, but that's very important to note. The fact that, you know, while I am meeting these guys and getting to know them, they all continue to impress me, and each and every one of them in a different way. So it's a lot of fun, but we have all of that and more coming up on the Shock Factor podcast. But now a quick break to hear from one of our sponsors. Have you heard of the 2025 Soldier Tank BB Core Baseball Bat by Soldier Sports? This isn't just any bat. It's lighter and hotter than any of its predecessors. And this is thanks to its infused power alloy technology that creates an ultra big, ultra hot sweet spot. Crafted from over 2.5 years of research and development, the Soldier Tank is the perfect blend of speed and power, designed for both power and contact hitters. It features a formula for success. Speed times mass times impact equals extreme power. And I believe that was one of the laws of physics, if I am not mistaken. I've seen it swung. Even the mishits have juice with the Soldier Tank. The bat is priced at an incredible $311, which is well worth it to be swinging the top scoring BB Core bat ever. They're selling out fast though, so head over to soldiersports.us to secure yours today. And now back to the action. What is going on, everyone? And we are back, and we are back in a big way, a way that I'm sure people are looking at the screen if you're watching on YouTube, or if you're listening and you can hear him breathing, you might think, oh my goodness, Stephen Schock, a UVA graduate, talking to a Virginia Tech Hokie. I almost forgot the most important word in doing so. Carson DeMartini. Carson, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, man.
Of course. Now, thanks for coming on. And of course, before we hit the record button, that's when we squashed all the bad blood, all the beef, of course, that goes into this rivalry, where we talked about it. And honestly, I think what we came to the conclusion of is the fans really provide the energy for that rivalry. Like, that's where it really stems from. Like, the players are just along for the ride.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, we're just out there playing. Everybody else is hating each other, but I mean, we're just sitting there. We're like, man, this some of my buddies over there playing. Like,
yeah, it's like, all right, I played against that kid in high school, played with that kid in high school. Yeah. But that's the glory of it. That's the fun of it. And of course, you playing in high school, you're from the Virginia Beach area, so I'm sure staying in state was huge for you. So what was your recruiting process like?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty simple for me, actually. I committed pretty early, but man, if you go back and like kind of watch me, the time I committed, you'd be like, man, how the heck did that kid commit to a ACC program, especially with like the way Tech is today. But man, like it was pretty simple. Like Coach Jeff came out and watched me. He actually saw me play at UVA, funny enough. And yeah, man, he loved the way I played. He was like, man, that kid's going to be pretty good one day. He was one of the kind of the only guys to take a shot on me. Most schools we talked to at that time kind of were mid-major schools, smaller schools. And then, you know, Tech offered me and we called UVA, called Duke, called UNC. And they were all like, yeah, we like you, but like, we don't really think you're either one ready, or we don't think you're good enough to come here. So with Chef's, you know, track record and all that stuff, I mean, it was a no-brainer for me. So yeah.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And you touched on a lot of great points there, because I'm sure if anyone's watching you play, they know that you play with a chip on your shoulder. And honestly, it's awesome. I love chips. I'm a snack guy, but chips on the shoulder are the best kind, because those guys playing, they play like they have something to prove. And it feels like, I'm sure you got off those calls with the other schools and you were like, all right, well, I'm going to be in the ACC now, and it's going to be a big problem for you.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, spot on.
Now, coming out of high school, of course, I see on your bio, it says you graduated with honors from the Mathematics and Science Academy at Ocean Lakes High School. Now, is that a specific sector of Ocean Lakes High School? Did you have to test in for that? Or
I actually took a math and a science test in eighth grade to test into they have these programs in Virginia Beach in every high school of like a certain, like they have like a legal studies and a tech and a this and that. To be honest with you, man, my, the guy who I wanted to play for, in high school was at Ocean Lakes. So it just it worked out. I wasn't too bad at math and science to where I got in, but
Hey, it works out well. I mean, I feel like if I took that test, probably wouldn't go well. It seems like they're trying to get you guys to figure out what you're gonna do quick, though. What's the big hurry? You know, you guys are at the beach.
Yeah, man, well, yeah, heck, I'd much rather be at the beach than go to school, I'll tell you that. But I mean, yeah, they got all these, they just it's just another thing they add in there.
Of course, you got to make it weird, because why would high school be simple? Why would it be just show up, take your classes, pass them, and play baseball? Why would that make sense? Now, moving along, of course, you come into college and you have good years, and of course, last year you hit 10 home runs, and you know that's great. That is a significant number of home runs. This year you are already at 14. What would you say has changed from last year to this year?
Man, I'd probably say one of the biggest differences is, like, I mean, really it comes down to kind of like my training. It really felt like I was really trying to flatten my swing out a lot from freshman year to sophomore year, and I did. But in doing so, I ended up hitting a lot more line drives, and I just couldn't like elevate the ball. Like everything I was hitting hard was at like a 15 to 10 launch, where like this year, man, like in my trainings and stuff, pretty much like only off the machine is where I tried to almost catch it out in front, where like I think if you see my sprays, like everything's to the pull side, and that's just a result of me just trying to catch things out in front. And like as you catch balls further out in front, your swing like it lofts more and more, if you finish high like I do. So that's just really like kind of the key I've been trying to do. So
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. From a baseball perspective, I understand 0% of the catching it later as a swing. But when I think of it when I'm golfing and when I'm trying to hit a stinger shot, I don't know if you golf at all, but when I'm trying to hit a stinger, which I 110% can't do because I can't hit a regular shot, but you know, you tee it up in the back of your stance, see the ball late. So it's the opposite. You're trying to get it out early.
100%. Put that ball on
Now,
your front foot and let it fly.
now, another thing going on with your home runs, and especially home runs at Virginia Tech, is the hammer. Do you think there is an increase in home run production for you just because the desire to get the hammer swings is there? It's just like, okay, look, we're upperclassmen now, you know, whether it's this year, whether it's next year, my time at Virginia Tech's coming to an end. I got to get these hammer swings in now.
100%. I think that ever since the hammer was taken away from us, it's kind of like the whole COVID situation. Once you don't realize how much you're gonna miss something until it's taken from you. So I mean, it's like, man, like I got to get it as much as possible, and I think the other guys are kind of starting to figure that one out and then file in.
Yeah, they feel the hammer swings are fleeting. Now, I gotta know, how did the hammer even start? Like, where did that come from?
Man, you got to give the props to our assistant coach, Coach Hansen.
Love
Because
it.
he coaches first base, deals with the catchers, and does hitting. And I mean, he because like our motto is like hammer the fastball, hammer the fastball, hammer the fastball. Like, I mean, as standard as it gets. And he was like, hey man, like literally just like boom, like, hey, what if we like slammed a hammer after we hit a home run?
Yeah, it's like we did it.
They were like, oh, that's a good idea. That's a really good idea. And then they went on with it, and then boom, the hammer and Hokies.
Yeah, and it really caught on like wildfire. Like when I think of the props, that's one of the first ones I think of. And, you know, the NCAA says, hey, we got to take these away because they're dangerous. I understand it. Like I get it. But granted, 95% of the guys involved near the hammer swing are either in helmets or Evo shields, protective gear of some kind. So it's like, you know, even if it is a hard hat area, we're kind of doing that already.
For sure, or spot on.
Now, was it always going to be the hammer, or had you ever thought about when the news came down that it couldn't be the hammer or props couldn't be used? Did you guys think of workshop and something else?
We tried to sit down and think about like what we could do, like what would be a good idea. And like honestly, man, like we were like, you know what? I think we're just gonna have to like fake it, like just like do the what we call the air hammer. And thank God we got that like little like extended area in our dugout, because that works out perfectly because at home, man, the fans they go crazy for it. That's what we look forward to. But yeah, man, we sat and tried to brainstorm. We like I don't know. I think it was like Las Vegas, somebody like that, like had a slot machine going on the side of their the football sideline. We were like, man, what if we like what if we got like a punching bag or something and, like hit the thing through and everybody was like, oh, but like nah, man, the hammer's our deal.
I like where the head's at with the punching bag. The only problem is, like with baseball, sometimes you run into those guys where it's like the 6 foot 5, 175-pound guy who can kind of power one out randomly. And it's like, if that kid goes up against the bag, is it really good for him? We don't know. But I do love the little side area you guys cut out. The ingenuity there is great. One, because your guys' backstop, it's massive. You have a ton of room there, and it's, again, more room for activities, which I love. And I remember when I was broadcasting, like the way it's set up, I think the NCAA messed up in terms of Virginia Tech in the fact that they took it away from you, which made you guys angry. And then you brought it back in a way that's even better, in my opinion, because now you have to do it kind of closer to fans. Like I remember you hit a big home run against UVA in the game I was broadcasting, and you come running in, of course, because you do home run trots quick, which that's a whole nother story for another day. But as you come home, like you run through the bag, it's like you were trying to beat out a ground ball to first base and you're jogging back along the fence. Everybody's fired up. You're throwing your arms up. You do the hammer swing and the crowd is just going ballistic. It was such a cool moment. Now, what is it like playing in front of that Virginia Tech crowd?
Oh, it's awesome. We had a packed one this weekend. We played Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and I mean, we had a few thousand out there, and I mean, when it gets packed, like I mean, it's as good as it gets. Like we're not gonna run out 10, 15,000 like the big time SEC schools are, but I mean, like it's on top of you, and
Oh,
it's
yeah.
right there. Like you know they're there. And we got a pretty good fan section, or student fan section, I'd say, that is pretty active in the game. I think that makes it pretty tough for opposing teams to come in. But I mean, it's as good as it gets. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's a very fair assessment. I still remember back when I played, which was, I think, 4 or 5 years ago now, when we played against Virginia Tech, that series, like the fans won. They are right on top of you. If they are chirping you, you're going to hear it. I remember specifically, I think the game was like 9-5 at this point in the bottom of the ninth with two outs. And there was a guy behind home plate, completely shirtless. It was freezing cold, just giving me one of these, rubbing I'm wearing a cowboy hat. And I was like, all right, I like this. Like, if I could have this guy everywhere I played, I would never fail.
They are there. If it's 20-1 each way, like if we're losing or winning, they're there, which is, I mean, that's all you can ask for.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what you want. Now, this team, I got to know kind of what would you say is the identity of this Virginia Tech ball club? Because I feel like you guys are quietly over there just mashing, absolutely raking. But we don't get to know a ton about you guys because it's like, hey, look, we're going to go take care of our stuff, get back home and be with us, you know?
I think the biggest thing about our team is there's a bunch of big, loud, different personalities, I think, and that's kind of what makes our team special. And you can kind of see that in like our offensive identity with like how like everyone 1 through 9 has some sort of like scare about them when they get in the box. Where like I think that's I mean that's a build off of how they are as a person. I think we're as tight as it gets. Like I've been on teams before that are pretty tight, man, and I mean this is as close as we get. We do everything together. I mean at almost every single night we're all together. We're either playing Guitar Hero or we're hanging out doing some fun stuff. And like I mean it's a great time being around the guys, and I mean everybody just we mesh so well together. It's awesome.
No, I miss that part of baseball so much. I'm very envious of that. I gotta know who's the best Guitar Hero player.
I'm gonna have to give it to Chris Cannizzaro. Chris can shred on like no one's business. He's almost beat every single Guitar Hero game. They got a whole stack this high of them. He's almost beat every single song on expert. I mean, it is. Sometimes he'll be getting and he'll go to the two hands with his elbow
Oh,
hitting the sticks. But
that's different.
we got a drum set in there now with a bass, guitar, and a mic. So we'll get some videos, some band work going on there, but I'm on the drums. That's my spot.
Look, if there's one thing college baseball needs right now, it is the Virginia Tech Garage Band of Guitar Hero or Garage Band or whatever the game's called, where it's the whole set, because that sounds absolutely electric. I will happily be the first person to retweet it. The notifications are on. But Carson, thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to join us here. We'll let you get back to your day in life as a Virginia Tech baseball player and student athlete, because again, it's not easily done.
Awesome. Thank you, man, for having me on.
Of course. Well, there you have it, everyone. That was Carson DeMartini, an absolute maniac at Virginia Tech. And I mean that in the best way. Like, just tune into a Virginia Tech baseball game, watch this kid play. He is running around the bases like a spider monkey. He's making plays in the field that he has no business making. I am a big Carson DeMartini fan. And after talking to him, my fandom has only grown. But we thank Carson for taking the time out of his busy schedule to join us on the Shock Factor podcast. There was a lot to unpack there. I think my favorite part is him talking about the origin of the hammer, because a lot of the times you would expect, okay, look, it's a silly thing that has to have been like, okay, a freshman or a sophomore was like just messing around one day, like, hey, what if we're swinging a hammer after home runs? But no, it was a coach, which I absolutely love that. That has made me like Virginia Tech more. And I think that is a very important way to put a little bookend on our Carson DeMartini portion of this episode. But again, want to end it with a saying thank you, because again, it's a busy life these college baseball players have. And while it may seem like, oh, it's just 10, 15 minutes, it takes a lot of time. I'm not the best at setting things up. So we thank all of our guests here at the Shock Factor podcast. Now we're going to take a quick break to hear from one of our sponsors. And then after that, we will be back with Arkansas Razorback relief man, the go-to guy out of the hog pen, Will McIntyre. Baseball barbecue started when a broken grill fork and a cracked bat came together to make the perfect grilling tool. Now, Baseball Barbecue makes patented bat handle barbecue tools and cutting boards that are licensed for the best teams in college baseball. Fun and functional baseball barbecue products are perfect for casual fans and serious grillers alike, and a great way to out tailgate your rivals. Visit baseballbarbecue.com/D1Baseball to find the perfect grilling gift for the college baseball fan in your life.
Hey everyone, we're going to take a quick break from our discussion to hear a couple ads from our sponsors.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
What is going on, everyone? We are back, and we are back in a big way. We are back at the pig pen, the hog pen. We are joined by a Razorback hog, which, first of all, mascot confuses me a little bit, but we are joined by an Arkansas Razorback and Will McIntyre. Will, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Thank you for coming on. Now, your time at Arkansas has been tumultuous, I would say. It's been a lot of up and down. You've had the typical college career where it's like, okay, we spent some time away from the game, we're back in it. Now, getting into college, though, for you, your recruiting process was a little bit different, and you walked on at Arkansas. Is that correct? So,
yeah, I had sort of a weird recruiting process. I didn't really get much attention.
Yeah, I mean, now you're in the part where it's like, look, high school me told you this was going to happen. I told you I was going to be good. But how did you get recruited? What was that like for you?
So I didn't really have any offers going into my senior year of high school. And I just came up here for like one of those prospect camps that most colleges put on. And it was back when Wes Johnson was still the pitching coach here. And I think I pitched two innings, had like six strikeouts. And then he just kind of pulled me aside and was like, come see me after camp. And that's how it kind of started.
Yeah. And you were like, look, coach, you put me in a game. I am going to strike everybody out from time to time. There will be outings where I go 2.2 innings against the former national champion, and I strike out all 8 of the outs I need to collect. So it definitely worked out well. So you went from that, you know, kind of walk-on spot, and now you're kind of just like the mainstay of the Razorbacks bullpen. So what's that transition been like for you?
I'm trying to, like, you know, do my job and try and be a leader in the bullpen. You know, all games can, you know, collapse, you know, if a bullpen's not locked in on that day or something. So, you know, I try and just, you know, be the leader of our bullpen, because my role is usually first out of the pen, and I'm not usually a closer, but, you know, I'll do whatever I'm asked to do, and, you know, just try and guide some of these young guys and show them, you know, what's expected out of us.
Yeah, and when you get on the mound, like, there's so much confidence in the way you pitch. And I feel like it's just all that mentally. You're like, look, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I know how I can contribute. So would you say there is any of that, like, sitting back, waiting, and that eagerness, does that contribute to your success on the mound? Just, like, that appreciation of every time you're in there?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Your career can be over in one pitch. So, you know, you just go out there and appreciate every pitch that you get to throw. And my mentality out there is just kind of like, what's the worst that can happen? You know, last year I gave up my fair share of home runs. I probably set a program record in a season, but, you know, I sit out there and when I'm throwing, like, what's the worst that can happen?
Look, a record's still a record, you know, either way it goes.
You got to be known just... for something, you know.
Exactly. And you're so right. The game can go at any moment. It's a very fleeting game. And that's what makes baseball so unique. And I think that's why pitchers especially are all so crazy, because, you know, everyone talks about, like, oh, this pitcher's a psycho. Oh, this pitcher's a crazy person. I think it's because, you know, you watch football, you watch basketball, most of those guys, they can get banged up, be back next week. Baseball, it's like, you know, you have one of those few injuries that everybody has, you're kind of out for a while.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, I was watching a video on YouTube to learn more about you, and it was an interview with your parents about your recruiting process as well. And your dad at one point said you just walked into Coach Van Horn's office and just straight up asked, and you were like, hey, coach, what do I have to do to get the ball? What was that experience like? Because me, even as a senior, I would be so scared to have that conversation. So to have the gumption to be like, hey, coach, look, I know what I'm doing. Come on. What do I need to do to get this ball? What was that conversation like? And what was the buildup like walking into that office? Because I would have been shaking in my boots.
Oh, dude, it was probably the most nerve-wracking thing I've ever done, you know? Your stomach just sinks because you don't know what's about to come out of his mouth, like, get out of here or something. But, I mean, it was a good conversation, and it's led to where we are now. So I think it kind of worked out for me.
Yeah, definitely worked out pretty well. I feel like Coach probably sees that. You walk out of his office, and he's like, look, everything he's done on the mound aside, he will never be more nervous on the mound than what he just experienced. Like, he just got all the nerves out. So good on you. I tip my cap to you for that, because, goodness, I would not
I was taught my whole life to never go ask about playing time. So I was like, that's the hardest talk I've probably ever had.
Oh, without a doubt. Because it kind of becomes taboo, where it's like, okay, yeah, if I ask, is coach going to not play me more? And it's like, will that happen? I don't really know, sitting in where I sit today, but the fact that it might is still a terrifying thought process. Mm-hmm. Now, over the weekend, you kind of did something in a similar vein, where on the third game of the series, this was Easter weekend, which, again, I don't know if the third game was on a Saturday or Sunday. It's all a blur to me. But the third game of the series, you are, you know, kind of slated. You had a long outing on the Thursday game, I believe it was. And you threw, I think it was 63 pitches, probably a little tired. The next day you come back to the field. You see, okay, my name is not on the list of available guys, but Will McIntyre, you get a pen, grab a pen of some sort, and just add your name to the list and go, you know what, coach, if you need it, I'm there. Coach ended up needing 1.1 scoreless innings, and you delivered. What was that whole process like? What went into that?
Well, we just always talk about how, like, you know, if you get the opportunity to sweep, especially in the SEC, it's like it's a pretty big deal, and it's a chance to separate yourself from the rest of the pack. And, you know, we had a chance to sweep in Auburn, and it is our way. And LSU rolling in town, we go up 2-0 on them, and it's a good team, and we knew it was going to be a fight to the very end to try and pull off the sweep. And, you know, it's just kind of like sitting there, I'm like, man, this would be an awesome game to pitch in because it's a historic rivalry, you know. Maybe a little bad blood between these two teams just from a historic perspective, and we're not supposed to like these guys. And I knew it was going to be a big crowd, and I was like, this would be a really fun game to get to pitch in and especially help this team get the opportunity to sweep them.
Absolutely. And it was such an awesome moment. The crowd at Baumwalker looks absolutely electric. I need to experience it at some point in my life because it looks insane. But I got to ask, when you got into the game, did you have any soreness at all, or was it just all adrenaline, like, all right, now we go?
It's weird, dude. It's like, I usually feel good if I, like, throw a day, get a day off, and then, like, that second day in a series, like a third game, I usually feel better sometimes. When we started doing it last year when I got moved to the pen, I really enjoyed it because I didn't seem to get sore unless I went, like, super extended, but, like, 50, 60 pitches and coming back out there a day later or something, like I felt better, like almost like it took me a little bit to warm up.
I feel like you're the type of player where it's like, look, my body is supposed to be sore, so my body is just not gonna be, you know, it's gonna be reluctant, it's not gonna listen, we're gonna go against the cloth here, and we're gonna fight the uphill battle. Now, talking about playing in Baumwalker, it looks amazing. The environment looks incredible, but the SEC in general, just every game you tune into, there's always at least 3,000 people there. And that's on the very, very low end. Most times it's like 7,000 to 10,000 people there. But playing in the SEC, is there a favorite stadium you have or a favorite environment to go out and pitch against?
Definitely got to say Duty.
All right.
You know, when we played there last year, it was a good series. We ended up, I think we swept. And, you know, their fans are super nice, and they chirp you in like a funny way, so it wasn't too personal or nothing. So it was a good series. And then, like, you know, we're getting ready to go, you know, go get on the bus and go get ready to go home, and they're yelling at us to come out there in the outfield and be like, and then they're just handing platters of barbecue out there. So that was awesome.
Yeah. It's going to be tough to beat a whole tray of brisket. That's a pretty good parting gift, especially after a sweep. That's like a lot of respect.
Post game. I mean, you've had post game that beats any post game meal you're going
to
get.
Yeah. Post game. Like for me, I taught myself to love $5 Little Caesars pizzas. I don't actually love them, you know, like it was just a mental trick, the little mental gymnastics I did to get through college baseball, really. But a whole tray of brisket. And I love what you talk about where they chirp you, but not in the personal way, because that to me is the best thing about college baseball. Like if you chirp me in a way that gets me to laugh, even if it like is really mean, I will respect you and I will be happier because of it. You know, where it's like
I get a lot of layoff the McDonald's. I guess it comes with my last name, but I'm like, y'all gotta be a little more innovative with them.
Yeah, it's like, okay, there is a lot. The whole word entire is in my last name. You can find something to do with that. I'm not sure what you can do with it, but you can find something, you know. I'm sure it can be done. They're so focused on the suffix. But for me, I always hated when the chirps were just like, oh, F you, man. It's like, you really spent time thinking of that one? Like, you couldn't think of something better?
Yeah. If you're creative, I might look up at you and give you a little nod or something if you're being funny. But you gotta be funny, man.
It's like, look, if you're creative, you might even get a chirp back. Like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Which I feel like is kind of the goal. Like, that's what you want. So you touched on it a little bit with Mississippi State having the barbecue. But I wanted to ask, being in the SEC, you are also in a phenomenal place to experience a lot of different great foods. So is there a road trip you are most looking forward to in terms of food? Like for me, for example, my freshman year, we played at Texas State in San Marcos, Texas. I had a plate of enchiladas at this small little Mexican food place. I have no idea the name of it, but I have at least thought about those once a day, every day for the past like 10 years. So is there like a specific region you're excited to go to and try out their food, or you've tried it out and you're just excited to have it again?
I gotta think about that.
I know I said no deep questions and I did this deep one.
I got one. We already went to Auburn. I forgot the name of it. It's like this little mom and pop little like deli shop or whatever.
Okay.
And they had, I've gotten it both times I've been there.
Oh.
It was chicken bacon ranch nachos, but like the chips were Cool Ranch Doritos.
Oh, that feels like cheating in terms of food groups. Like that feels too easy of a good meal. I'm definitely going to get Cool Ranch Doritos as soon as we get off this interview, but that sounds incredible. So are nachos, is that like your favorite food group, or do you have a favorite food?
I don't really have a favorite food. I'm a big, like, I explore like what I like type of
person. I'm with you. If it's there and it sounds good, I'm going for it. And if I can't pronounce it, that's probably even better.
You just point at the menu.
Yeah, it's like, look, we're adults, so there's no pictures on this one, but this one right here. There's no number next to it because this is a restaurant. Now, that's a great callback. Those nachos sound phenomenal, and I will be thinking about them for a long time. Now, another part of going on the road in college baseball is you get essentially, you don't always have the buddy system, but you essentially adopt a buddy where it's like, look, this is my guy. This is who I'm hanging out with when we're on the road. Who is your guy on the road trips? Who's your go-to dude?
I'm going to say, honestly, whoever wants to come play video games in my room, I feel like it's a little bit of a revolving door. We just play a lot of MLB The Show in my hotel room and go, and it gets a little competitive in there.
Oh, I would believe it. Who's the worst show play? Who's the worst and who is the best? I feel like the two extremes need to be highlighted.
I'm just going to say the worst is Hagen, just to throw a jab at him, even though he probably didn't. And then like that. I think maybe Stovall. Stovall's pretty, he got a pretty good eye, but you know, it's not really fair because he's a hitter.
Yeah, the hitters are way better than pitchers at that game. That's one thing I picked up from my time playing like in college. Like anytime a hitter was like, "Yo, Steve, play me in the show," I was like, no, that's not gonna work. Like, even if I pitch with a plan, like I pitch with a good plan in MLB The Show, and I execute from time to time. You guys are still gonna destroy me because like you get it. And I love, you know, throwing Hagen under the bus a little bit because it's like, look, you know, you might not be great at the game.
The worst, but I just like messing with him. You gotta keep his head small. His head can't get too big.
Yeah, no, I always gotta keep him humble. And it's like, look, dude, most of the guys on this team are gonna be playing with your card in this game next year. So it's like, look, give the guys a chance, give the rest of us a break.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, do you have a favorite memory from playing at Arkansas so far?
Oh, man. Definitely walking it off to go to Omaha in 22 was an amazing experience. And I made the rookie mistake of being one of the first guys out there. And I think my ribs still feel it because being on the bottom of that dog pile is not a fun experience.
Yeah, I was always like, this was what I was thinking about as a relief pitcher who, like, we had a sizable lead before we punched our ticket to Omaha. And I was like, I'm going to be the last one out there. I'm just going to give one of these, like, spread out, flop down a little bit, be a team guy. So you were on the bottom of it. What?
Yeah, I was. I mean, I'm not a fast guy, but man, that's probably the fastest I've ever sprinted.
I have always feared being at the bottom of a dog pile. I say it every time I see a dog pile. I'm like, oh man, they got knife shoes flying around. People are jumping on top of them. And what was the bottom of the pile like?
I mean, it's not like when you're little and you might, win something in Little League or something and you dog pile and it's like 15 kids that don't weigh over 100 pounds. Everybody's over 200 pounds. You got 27 guys on travel roster and some of these guys are, they're not even jumping on the dog pile. I don't even know, they're jumping 5 feet in the air and, body slamming you on the pile. So, I mean, it was fun, but you wake up the next morning, you're like, oh, man.
Yeah, it's like, look, we got the feeling out, but how long do we have to stay here? How long's the cleanup crew? Because this is 200-pound guys. This is an easy 540,000 or 5,400. There we go. Had to place the comma. Pounds of dude on top of each other. That's a tough trip, but honestly, it sounds like a good kind of pain.
Oh, yeah, I'd go through it again in a heartbeat.
Now, with this team in 2024, of course, achieving that dog pile is a goal. Well, a sub quest of the main goal. It's a little thing there that could happen. But this team has been playing really quality baseball and really playing together this season. What has really been the identity of this team for you guys?
I think we just want to, pitching staff, our thing is go out there and just get to two strikes as fast as possible. We just call it a race to two strikes. And then, like, defensively, it's, Coach Van Horn prides himself on a very solid defensive team. And I think our defense has bought into that. I don't think we make many fielding mistakes. And then hitting, we started this whole gorilla ball thing, and I think our hitters have really rallied behind that. So,
Yeah, the
yeah, I think it's
gorilla
kind of three
mask.
different things going on. Yeah.
The gorilla mask rocks, which, Coach Van Horn, he seems like a very, very by the book coach. So I love you guys bringing out the gorilla mask, kind of pulling that side out of him again. Because, all these coaches, everybody is like, oh, are these coaches a little wild at times? Or, how mild-mannered are they? But what I think a lot of people forget is like, if there is a college baseball coach, it's someone who's played college baseball themselves. So at their core or been around the game, they know what to expect. There's a reason they've stuck around it. And I love seeing you guys pull that side out of there. All right. And now this is my last question. And while it may be a pretty easy one for you, it's probably going to be the hardest question I ask. But in terms of your guys' shortstop, he is very talented, one of the best baseball players in college baseball right now. There is so much discrepancy on how to say his name. So, as someone who is Wahiwa Aloy's teammate, can you tell me how the correct pronunciation, do you know it? Like, it's tough.
I mean, I struggle sometimes. I just call him V, but
Oh, that's a good call.
I'm almost positive it's Vahiva. So Vahiva.
Vahiva. Okay. That is good to know. And you broke it down perfectly. It's like your brain understands phonetics the way my brain understands phonetics. So Vahiva, you just call him V. Honestly, you saying we just call him V makes it way easier because, you look at the name, no V's, just W's, and that's fine, So I greatly appreciate you informing me of how the best way to do it because you know what? I'm gonna say his name again in the future. You saw me try to dance around it, but I still had to. Vahiva. All right. We will lock that in. We will pencil that down. But Will, thank you so much for taking the time to spend some time with us on the Shock Factor podcast. It's been a ton of fun watching you pitch, and we look forward to watching you pitch down the line and in the future. All right, everyone. Well, Will McIntyre just touched on so many amazing points. One thing I want to point out, if you're a player and you're listening to this episode and you're like, hey, Steve, I'm struggling to make friends on my team. I'm not saying that Will was. I highly doubt that was the case. This dude was awesome. He's the type of dude people want to hang out with. But if I were struggling to make friends on the team, bring video games on the road and just plant them in your room. People are forced to be your friend. They're forced to hang out with you. I would bring video games on the road from time to time when I was like, hey, look, I need people to hang out with. I'm a stinky guy. My hygiene may not be the best. My hygiene wasn't the best, especially in college. So I was not a great guy to room with. But if I had video games in the room, people were rolling through. So that is a pro behind the scenes tip. You want to make friends on your team, just do that. But Will touched on so many other great points that I would much rather walk away with if I'm trying to play at the college level. First of all, talking about having gumption, talk about having, you know, moxie, cojones, whatever you want to say it is. But to go into a coach's office, especially Coach Van Horn, who, quite frankly, me, my personality type, I feel like he would not like me one bit. So I would be terrified to walk into this office because, you know, I'm just a different type of person than he is. But Will just walks in, essentially sits down and goes, hey, look, how do I get the ball more often? And that's a terrifying thing to do. Any player will tell you that's scary to do. And so to go in and do it and just prove like, hey, look, not only did I want to do this, not only do I want the ball, but when you actually give it to me, like, I'm going to be successful and I'm going to show you like you're smart for doing this. So shout out to Will McIntyre for just being an absolute savage, because again, you know, the whole writing your name in on the board when it's like short rest, when the coach is like, nah, you know, from a health standpoint speaking, we should probably have you sit this one out, and you just go, nah, I don't really care about health. Let's just go and let it rip. Yeah. Sign me up. That's a dude I want my team. Will McIntyre, you're an awesome human. Thank you so much for joining the show. But thank you guys all so much for tuning into the Shock Factor podcast. That is all we have for you this week. It was a very exciting week, very fun week. And now we have a full slate of weekend action that is going to be super action-packed that you are not going to want to miss. But thank you, as always, for tuning into the Shock Factor podcast on the D1 Baseball Network. Thank you to our sponsors, Soldier Sports and Baseball Barbecue, for making this all possible and making sure that my baseballs are hit hard and my steaks are grilled to perfection. We'll catch you next week on the Shock Factor podcast. Bye.
The Shock Factor podcast is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcasts.